Now to tie up and to conclude this surah, which is Surah Yusuf, after giving a full description of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. And this incident is an incident of the unseen which we reveal to you. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. And you were not with them when they resolved upon their plan and devised their plot. Now, what is the reference in this regard? It is the reference to what had transpired with Yusuf al-Islam. This type of a verse, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ, this is part of the reports of the unseen. There's also a similar verse in Surah Ali Imran, with regards to the context of Surah Maryam, or the story of Maryam, where Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكِ. This is part of the reports of the unseen we reveal to you. And then with a slight change, the same statement appears in verse number 49 in Surah Hud, where it is related to the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. These are reports of the unseen which we reveal to you. So from these verses we learn that Allah communicates to His prophets in many ways of the unseen, and that is through wahi, particularly to our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the head of all the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this news that he shares is the news of the unseen, the news of the ilmul ghaib, which was given about the previous people. And the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed and informing the ummah in this regard, and this was part of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that they informed and that they were able to give news from what was had transpired. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us what is to transpire, all the trials and tribulations. And now there are special chapters in the books of hadith which are termed as Kitabul Fitan, the chapters with regards to all the trials and the tribulations. Now, some people take the knowledge of the unseen, the ilmul ghaib, only in the sense that a person who becomes aware of the unseen, then that person becomes ilmul ghaib or alimul ghaib. What we're talking about is that because the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wasalam, they knew the unseen, so some ignorant individuals consider them to be alimul ghaib. Remember, la ya'lamu man fi samawati wa ardi al-ghaiba illa Allah, that none in the heavens or the earth know the unseen. So other than Allah, no one can be called alimul ghaib, the knower of the unseen. The ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, is a unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taking a messenger of Allah, or a prophet, or an angel, or even a saint, or a pious person to have an attribute of that is equating that individual, or that person, or that being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what the Christians had done. They had declared a Nabi to be the son of the Almighty, and a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is totally unfounded, and that is against basic belief. So the news of the unseen is which Allah gives to the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the medium of wahi, and that is how they attained it, not on their own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ, that O Muhammad, you were not present when the brothers of Yusuf were plotting and planning to separate Yusuf from his father, to cast him in a well. You were therefore unable to hear what they spoke, nor were you witness to what they did. What then could have informed you of the incidents in an authentic manner, like we have told you? This is nothing but the knowledge of the unseen that Allah has granted. Now, after sharing these details with us, it was expected that they would have accepted Islam. The Jews and the Christians joined hands to test the veracity of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for this purpose they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them everything about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi wa sallam as it had happened, if he was true in his claim to prophethood. And when he told them what he had been informed through wahi, through divine revelation, they still remained steadfast in their disbelief and denial. This shocked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَسْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, that most people are not of those who have conviction, no matter how much you may pay attention to it, no matter how much you desire it for them, they will not believe. That is the reality, that is what it has come to, that people do not take heed. And there should be no reason for this. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْءٍ إِنْهُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْعَالَمِينَ, you do not ask them any wages. This is nothing but an admonition for the entire world, that your mission to tell them the truth and to call them to the straight path, you're not saying give me anything in return. And that is causing it very difficult for them to listen to you, because we know that if you get involved here, it's going to cost you money. In fact, there's nothing but reward in the year after and the betterment for themselves if they follow this message. Yet people feign to understand and to comprehend. إِنْهُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْعَالَمِينَ, this is nothing but an admonition for the entire world. So sometimes we are scared to get involved in our religious affairs, thinking that it will spoil our life. Our lives will become monotonous, will become boring. There's nothing, you know, I'll lose all, if I reform myself, I'll lose all enjoyment. No, it is for your own betterment and your peace, if you really feel the tranquility and the peace. The sense is that the people are not of the kind who would simply listen, even though people were well-wishing. Therefore Allah says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُؤْرِضُونَ, that there are numerous signs in the heavens and on the earth which they pass by, but they do not ponder on it. They do not ponder on these signs. They do not reflect upon this. This was the worst of that they did not learn from these open signs of the perfect power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were visible to them everywhere. They kept passing by these signs without paying attention, without wondering, whose signs are these? These are signs of divine wisdom and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many ways it was supposed to have reminded us and taken us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But people are heedless. And this is the description of the people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, and most of them do not believe except that they are mushrikeen. So it should not be that we are similar, that we do not pay heed to the signs of Allah. There are two groups of people. There are those who accepted a supreme deity, yet they ascribed a partner with him. And that was one group, that is the mushrikeen, and there were those who totally denied any supreme being whatsoever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the Sahaba, and according to the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most dangerous of things I fear for you is the small shirk. And the Sahaba asked, what is that? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hypocrisy is the small shirk. Hypocrisy. Similarly, swearing by someone or something other than Allah has been called shirk in an Ahl al-Hadith. So vows, offerings, minnats, niyaz, all in the name of other than Allah, in the name of a saint, in the name of the angels, in the name of a Nabi, all of that is all termed as shirk. And it is for that reason that we've been warned in this regard. People have become so heedless in their ignorance that despite the signs being open and clear, they take no heed and pay no attention. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question. In fact, you know, with regards to the kuffar, they would say the talbiyah in the way, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ إِلَّا شَرِيكًا هُوَ لَكَ تَمْلِكُهُ وَمَا مَلَكَ. They would say, Ya I am, O Allah, Ya I am, you have no partner except the partner you have been taken for yourself. You own him and all that he owns. And so this was the shirk that the kuffar had brought into their religion. Some ascribe daughters to Allah, others claim he is dependent on a spirit and matter. Others said that the rabbis and the priests had special powers. Some clouded their tawheed with grave worship, with saint worship. This is all part of those things which we've been warned about and we should abstain. How can we become heedless in this regard? أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah puts the question, that have these people become fearless of the fact that a calamity of Allah's punishment may cover them, or that resurrection comes upon them suddenly and they're not even aware of it, that these people are so heedless that these grave events may take place so suddenly that you won't even realize. It's said that when Qiyamah comes upon people, a person will still be milking his cow, someone will go planting a tree, and before you know it, Qiyamah will strike upon these people. What is the path that we ought to be moving towards? What is the path that we ought to be calling towards? The dawah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not based on anything that is very light. It is something which is heavy and weighty, and that is the path towards absolute tawheed. Absolute tawheed, the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, the correct path that he has outlined. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. This is my path. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. With insight, I invite and those who are with me. Those who are with me. Now who is this? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They are the best people of this ummah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explained and he said, they are the best of this ummah, their hearts are pure and their knowledge is deep. They are far removed from formalities. أَكَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفَ. Allah had chosen them to accompany and serve their Rasul. You should learn their moral habits and ways because they are the ones who are on the straight path. There's a hadith which says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَذَرَ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْإِبَادِ. Allah looked at the hearts of mankind and found the best of heart to be the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he looked again and he found that the best of hearts after that were the hearts of the Sahaba, and he chose them as supporters of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great virtue of the Sahaba. We're living in an age where there is a direct attack on the Sahaba radiallahu anhu by the forces of evil who are propagating their false beliefs in our country, which is gaining momentum. Let us look at these verses and understand the position of these chosen individuals by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ana wa man ittaba'ani, me and my followers. Some of the ulama have said that this is in a general sense that every person who is doing the duty of conveying the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's included in this, according to Kalbi and Ibn Zayd rahimahumullah, that this, it makes it necessary upon all of us. Yes, the responsibility upon us, that every one of us should engage in the spreading of the da'wah of the deen of Islam amongst our people, the teachings of the Quran. We should spread it to all so that we fulfill our responsibility. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that my dawah does not aim at inviting people to become my servants. Subhanallah wa ma'ana min al-mushrikeen, that Allah is pure from all shirk. I'm not amongst the mushrikeen. I'm not calling people to be my servant. I myself is also a servant of Allah, and it is this kind of servitude to none but Allah, that I invite people towards. I may die calling towards it, and I am fulfilling my obligation and responsibility in this regard. The disbelievers of Makkah used to object, and they used to say that a messenger should not be a human being. He should rather be an angel. And then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ. That Allah says that you should not think of it like this, that all those whom we sent before, you were all men. We used to send revelation to them. They were dwellers of the villages. The Nabi of Allah is a normal human being, and he is distinct in the fact that he gains wahi and a message that comes to him directly from Allah. It is not the effect or the outcome of individual effort that he propagates a message. If Allah to send anbiya as angels, then we would say, no, those are angels. How can we, you know, follow in the part of angels, that they don't have no desires, no inclinations. So that's the difference between us and them. Now, on the other hand, a Nabi comes who has normal human qualities, yet the differentiating thing is that Allah sends messages to him through wahi, and that is what makes him different, and that messages is what we ought to heed and to listen to. Now, in the next verse, there's an admonition for those who do not respond to the instruction of the da'i. Allah says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That do they not travel in the land where they see the fate of those before? The fate of those before, who are we referring to? The Ad, the Thamud, and all those previous nations. What had happened to them? They were all destroyed. They were all destroyed in the sense that Allah had uprooted them from the ground and there was nothing left afterwards. The Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, they were also human beings. And like human beings, there may have been a time when after conveying the message, they were told that now where is the punishment that you are warning us of? And the punishment did not come down, and as a result, they may have been despairing under the circumstances. Why is the punishment not coming down? We should never despair. Allah has His own unique way of how events unfold. The simple example, the event of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen a dream that he was performing Umrah and informed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that they were doing tawaf of the Baytullah, and the dream was based on what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen. But there was no time frame in that dream. And when they had undertaken the journey and they were hoping now to perform the Umrah, they were prevented that year, and the Treaty of Hudaybiyah had taken place, and they were then to come the next year and perform Umrah. So there was a delay in the realization. But that was better for them, and there was greater things that came from that. Eventually, the conquest of Mecca was as a result of that. So sometimes, there may be a delay in the realization of our dua, but it shouldn't be that that becomes a means of us losing hope and despairing. Allah has not put any time frames. Allah will fulfill His promise at its appointed time. Hatta إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. At this time we all ask Him, where is the help of Allah? It will come. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءَ. And Allah will save whom He wills. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. When the punishment comes, our punishment will not be averted from the sinning people. There will be no way of being saved from that. So the whispers of Shaitan comes. Shaitan puts all sorts of whispers. In fact, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said, oh Nabi Allah, we get certain whispers which we even fear to utter it, that we'd rather be burned to cinders than utter those words. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you really experience this? And they said, yes. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is clear Iman. That is clear Iman. Getting whispers, having all sorts of thoughts, that comes naturally. However, what is it from you is that to remain steadfast and to repel all those misgivings. In conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ إِلَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. This is certainly a lesson. There is certain lesson in the story for those who possess intelligence. This is no fabricated tale. Rather, it is in accordance with the book, which is before it an exposition of everything, a guidance and a mercy for those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma kana haditha yuftara. This Quran, the story of Yusuf al-Islam that has been mentioned, there's been mentioned the Torah and the Injil. In fact, Wahab ibn Munabah say, there is no scripture which does not have the story of Yusuf alayhi salam recorded in it. So there are signs, there are lessons that we need to take from this, from the stories of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, in particular the story of Yusuf alayhi salam that has been narrated. It's a clear and absolute sign of what will happen to the obedient servants of Allah, that they will be supported and helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taken out from difficulty, and they will be conveyed to ease and they will be conveyed to goodness. Allah says that we've given you in this وَتَفْسِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقْمَ مُؤْمِنُونَ. The Quran is an elaboration of everything, which means that the Quran has details of everything. All human needs, in terms of his religion, in terms of his worship, dealings, monetary, moral issues, social issues, governmental issues, political issues, and everything else, the Quran has guidelines for us in every aspect of our lives. The Quran is a guidance and a mercy for people who believe. Those who have iman and faith, and have faith in the book of Allah, they will enjoy that mercy that the Quran has to offer. The Quran will give us mercy if we believe in it. And that is the entire reason behind narrating the story. Conclusion, Sheikh Abu Mansur has said, the purpose behind the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the story that has been narrated, this was to comfort the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is also tell him that his suffering at the hands of the people have been the lot of the past of the Anbiya al-Islam, that they had also suffered on the hands of the people, but in the end, Allah enables his Anbiya al-Islam to overcome, and in this case too, this was going to happen, and this was the glad tidings to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that victory was to be his. Now, with that conclusion, reflecting on the surah, we said that the purpose was for us to draw lesson. We've been looking at it over 9 parts, and in conclusion, we're asking you to share with us your lessons, and you can send messages through to 072-786-1548. What have you learned from Surah Yusuf? Here's a message coming that has come through. It says that Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam was a unique and excellent human being, despite the ways his siblings treated him and deprived him. Spending his youth with his loving father Yaqub al-Islam, he never rebelled or acted in a nasty way, and just made him realize their mistakes and wanted his father to know he was alive, though his father always believed and waited patiently. We as Muslims must always know that Allah loves us and always, and never forget, always forgive, unite, be honest, and no matter what the circumstances, Allah will always guide us. Now, this comes through from Sister Tahira. Another one that comes through, and this is from Sister Binti Qasim. The lesson we learn from the life of Yusuf al-Islam is that he had the choice of either falling into sin or controlling his nafs and choosing to go to prison if that was what was there to keep him from sin. Similarly, we have the choice in life. Daily we are faced with circumstances which present different choices that we could make. Be wise in choosing. Think what the choice that I am making is in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Will I be proud of the choice that I am making? So choose to leave sin, choose to wear the Sunnah libas, choose to be proud of your deen, choose to read Salah, choose to spend a holiday in the obedience of Allah, choose to be modest, choose to be obedient to your parents, choose to make a choice and be wise in your decision. If obeying Allah is your priority number one, you will definitely make a choice and that will be in accordance with His pleasure. The next one that comes through says that in short, the beautiful story of Yusuf al-Islam has taught me that the most perfect of families have problems, but Almighty Allah has taught us how to deal with it. Have patience and make sabr. The truth will always be revealed. Don't expose others' problems, because definitely Allah will unite us all, inshallah. Then more that comes through. It says that if we take what inspiring story, a life story, and the main thing is that Yusuf al-Islam forgave not only his brothers, but everyone throughout his life. If we take that example today, families will have muhabbat instead of hasad and jealousy. We live with so much hasad and jealousy these days that this is important for us. Another one says that what I've learned is life is full of challenges, disappointments, sometimes even being deceived by one's own family. To overcome this, we need to persevere and have patience, and that Allah will show His banda after testing him the light, and definitely fulfill our needs and never give up. Another one says that salam, to bring the quality of shukr and sabr in our lives, man is very hasty and wants everything to happen immediately, instantaneously. A few more of the messages I'd like to share with you before we open the lines. And here's a few more from the posts that have come through. And here's one. It says, always rely on Allah. From my personal experience, cry to Allah and He will guide one to the correct thing, and ask Allah to open roads and He'll make it easy. Another one says that don't trust anybody, keep your gaze only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those were some of the lessons that the listeners have shared with us, and it brings us to the conclusion of our tafsir, or our series, Pearls from Surah Yusuf.